we'll go ahead and get started. Obviously, we got Baker and Denzel here. You guys want to go ahead and start open with some questions?
Hey, Baker. I'm Tom Withers from the AP. Welcome to town. Welcome to town, Denzel. I thought you might go with the jorts today. You decided not to.
I had to send them back to Brett.
Some people have made that comparison, and I know you didn't start that. I think it was Coach Riley who was the first one. That's got to be flattering, first of all. And then is that a quarterback as far of a guy that you've maybe modeled some of your game after?
Absolutely. Obviously, that's a humbling comparison, considering Brett and everything that he's done for the game of football. But the thing about him that I love is his passion for the game, his winning mentality, his toughness that I've always enjoyed watching.
I think it was Coach Jackson was talking about you, and he said he loved your inner strength. Do you agree that you have that, and where do you think that comes from?
Inner strength?
Yeah.
When he says that, I would think he's talking about mental toughness, you know, the ability to fight through things. And yeah, I'd agree that I do have that. You know, you talk about the journey that I've had. Hasn't been the easiest one, but it's definitely helped me out, and there's been a lot of blessings in disguise that have come with it, so that's one thing that I think him and I see eye to eye on.
Could you contrast being a walk-on twice in college, and now you're the number one draft choice of the NFL?
It's a clean slate. What I've done in the past, I had a lot of fun, great memories, but it's starting fresh now. So everybody starts over, and that's what I'm looking forward to doing.
What I'm saying is, you know, you had that chip on your shoulder the first two times. That's got to be a different feeling, I suppose, being the first guy picked in the draft.
Surreal feeling, thinking about how long it's been and exactly where I came from. So a very surreal feeling. Definitely not one that I would have imagined back then, but I'm happy about it now.
John Dorsey and Hugh Jackson last night were talking about getting you on the whiteboard and your understanding of the game. Can you just maybe talk about that? How you would describe your ability to process the game and that kind of thing, and how different or similar what you did at Oklahoma will be from what you're expected to do here in the NFL in terms of that?
The game of football, it's the same. It's just a matter of terminology, language, and how they teach it. So you're not going to find one guy that's reinventing the wheel, but you're going to find guys that focus on certain things and are really good at it. And so when we talked about our offense compared to what we want to do here, it's about playing to your strength. So talking about why we did certain things with our personnel, with mismatches, and just getting up there and letting them know, you know, that I am capable of learning an offense. It wasn't just a typical air raid or spread offense that some might, you know, put a finger on, but just being able to actually analyze defenses and put our offense in the best position to win. That's what it was all about.
Denzel, just growing up in this whole area here, and there you are right at the podium, first round pick with the Browns. You were a Browns fan, correct?
I watched more college football growing up, but I'm definitely a fan now, believe that.
And how did it feel to be playing in your hometown, and what this is going to be like for you?
Yeah, it's definitely a blessing. Like, it's been my childhood dream to get to the NFL draft, and watching guys like Deion Sanders and all those guys, Patrick Peterson, to actually be here and go to Ohio State and to come to Cleveland now, it's crazy. It's just an amazing feeling. I'm just excited.
Denzel, I saw a video of you reading the letter that your mom wrote. What was that moment like, and what did that whole experience kind of mean to you?
Yeah, it means a lot to me. My family and I have been through so much, and my family did so much for me, and for them to share this experience with me and for her to share her feelings to me, it means a lot to me.
When you talked at the combine and other opportunities about the memory of your dad, and what did that all make you think of last night? And I read somewhere you wore the suit in his honor. Can you just kind of tell us about what that night meant for you? With that memory in your mind?
Yeah, it was definitely an emotional night. I obviously wish that my dad was still alive and could have been there to experience that with my family and I, but I know he's proud of me, and he watched last night in heaven, so it was an exciting time. We enjoyed it, and I'm blessed to be here with the Cleveland Browns.
Why do you say you didn't run a typical air raid or spread? What was unique about it? What was complex about it?
We were much more focused on running the ball first. If we didn't establish the line of scrimmage first and foremost, and establish setting the tone with the physicality, then we weren't going to have a good game. You can look back at the games that we lost or we struggled, and it was because we didn't run the ball well, or we weren't physical enough with blocking on the outside or just doing our job. So it was focused on being physical.
Baker, you've come off some really cool experiences in terms of the Heisman, the Rose Bowl, all these big things that you've been involved in. You were on Jimmy Kimmel last night, the draft, and all of that. My question to you is, now you're going to come in and you're going to be asked to, kind of sit behind Tyrod, and you won't be in the spotlight, and all the, cheers won't be for you right now. So how do you think you'll be able to handle that when you kind of have to take a step back a little bit?
It'll be a great thing for me. The best thing I say it all the time is what happened at Oklahoma was sitting for a year after I transferred. To sit there and be able to focus on the physical parts of my body that need to, develop, and then the mental side of the game, learning. And so now there's a positive in every situation. And so looking at it right here is learning from guys like Tyrod and Drew, guys that have been in it. They've seen different things that I can, bounce things off of them and just also watch and learn. And so it's a great position to be in, and especially with an organization like this, it's got a lot of moves headed in the right direction. So it's an exciting time for me to be here right now.
People talk about you, they talk about your leadership, your passion for the game, love for the game, those type of things. Are you one of those natural first guy in, last guy out of the building type students of the game?
Absolutely. And I think to be at this point right now, you have to be. You got to enjoy it, because there's so much work, or whatever you want to call it, grind, you have to love it to where at the point you don't even think about it that way. So for me, it's going to be that way, and I'm hoping it's going to be that way for a long time.
What do you love most about the game?
Oh, being able to compete at the highest level and enjoy it and having fun with it. And there's something about competing against guys like Denzel or going up against other people that you work so hard for it for so long, and then getting to showcase that for only a fraction of that on a Saturday or now a Sunday, it's something special.
Hey Baker, some guys get other players to follow them and some cannot. So what is the key that makes you the leader you are?
I think it starts with actions. Actions always speak louder than words. And as cliche as that sounds, it's true. It starts with work ethic. It starts with what you show them during the off season. How you develop, how you're mentally tough, and you show them how passionate you are about the game, how badly you want to win, and then from there you can put yourself in a position that you're respected and well liked, and then you can speak your mind. You're able to influence people with your words on top of that.
Denzel, when you were here for that workout a few weeks ago, did you have any inkling then that this is where you were going to end up?
They did express a lot of interest in me, as a lot of teams did on the visits I went on, so I wasn't 100% sure that they were going to go with me, but glad they did. We knew playing Baker Mayfield that he's definitely a mobile quarterback and he's very accurate, so we knew we were going to be in coverage for a longer period of time. So knowing that you got to stay on your man longer and not get your eyes off your key.
How would you describe yourself? Obviously, you're not the biggest guy, but yet you play in a physical way. How have you been able to do that at Ohio State, and how will you be able to do that in the NFL?
Yeah, even though I may not be the ideal size that a lot of people bring up, I feel I play big, and my physicality shows on the field, and also along with my speed and my ability to play press man-to-man.
Do you have to do anything to keep your weight up at this level? Is that going to be any concern?
It won't be any concern. Just eat food.
Katie will take care of us.
A big game, the game on the line, and it's real noisy, and there's a lot of pressure there. What's your mechanism? What are the things you do to handle pressure when the pressure is most real?
The game of football doesn't change no matter the stage you're on. It could be the practice field, or it could be in front of the most people you ever played in front of. It's still 11 on 11 when it comes down to it. There's still a scheme on both sides. So when it was a pressure moment like that, I tried to get our guys to focus on the basics. You do your job, you do your 1/11th, and you don't even focus on the rest.
I was going to mention, the pressure in the national semifinal had to be intense with that game being in overtime. Mm-hmm. Do you remember some of your specific thoughts were as you coursed through the end of regulation and into overtime?
just what I said. You do your 111th, you don't worry about the situation. You can't worry about what their offense is doing. You go out there and you do your job, and you give it everything you have and see what happens.
Curious, you're sitting there last night, you're watching the draft on television, the opening part, the analysts are going through the spiel of the quarterbacks and all that type of thing, and you're not mentioned as the guy they think is the best of the class or whatever, and a couple minutes go by and your phone rings and it's John Dorsey on the other end. Could you just maybe take us behind the curtain of some of the thoughts that were going through your mind as that was progressing?
Hearing your name called or getting that phone call is moment that I'll never forget. I know Denzel would say the same. It's something that there's so many emotions and thoughts that run through your head in that little time frame about, you think about the work ethic and just the journey it's been to get to that one moment in time. And so there's a lot in that one point, but it's funny listening to all the pre-draft stuff, because that's the best part about it, is the meetings with the teams, the visits. You get to show them what you're knowledgeable about, what you can grow, and who you actually are as a person. So it went well, my visit with Cleveland, my meetings with them, and I'm very excited to be here.
Did you view, you thought all these highly touted quarterbacks in this class, did you view it as a competition to become the first one picked, and do you view it as a competition moving forward? Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, obviously the Browns pick you over those guys.
They're all very talented guys. There's a reason that they were all in the discussion to be picked number one overall. But for me, I do view it as a competition. But it doesn't just end there. My journey is just now starting. Not satisfied. I haven't played it down yet. So moving forward, you set big goals in the future, but you got to work and accomplish small ones along the way.
It seemed like during the pre-draft process, it seemed like you genuinely did want to come here to Cleveland, even though they've gone 131, even though there's been a parade of quarterbacks coming through here. Why would you want to come to this situation so badly? And what makes you think that you'll fit in here? And also, like, what do you think your reaction has been so far from Browns fans, and do you have to win them over?
I think winning will take care of – winning the game will take care of winning them over. But I did genuinely want to come here. This is a franchise that traditionally is great. They have a great history, and these fans deserve a team that has success. And so you want to be the guy – to lead that. That's just human nature. You want to be that person. And so for me, being as competitive as I am, the bigger the challenge for me, I think the better for me.
Denzel, what are a couple of things you learned from your family growing up, losing your dad and all those? What are a couple of things that you learned from all that?
Definitely being confident, but also being humble throughout the whole process. Like, going through this process, like, it could kind of distract a lot of people, I feel, but I was taught to always stay humble throughout all those situations.
Curious, what kind of life lesson was the suspension from the Kansas game? And did that make you, I don't know if you want to tone things down, and you said last night you're going to be yourself no matter what, but do you ever worry sometimes that you go over the top with some of that?
Well, that was absolutely over the top. But there's a fine line. You need to be competitive, but a lot of that you can internalize and use that as motivation to drive you. You don't have to show it all the time. And that's something that, you know, like I say, as competitive as I am, I don't have to show it all the time. I can use that for behind the scenes when nobody's around, the film, the hours you put in. So stuff like that, in between the lines, I'll be very competitive. But the other stuff, obviously, can't happen. And I know that.
Do you think it would be easy to harness that?
Absolutely. Easy decision to make. It's a blessing to have the responsibility and be in this position. And so for me, it's a simple choice to make the right decisions.
That offense that you ran at Oklahoma, would it work in the NFL? Or, and maybe on the second point, do you see it in the NFL when you watch NFL games?
You watch the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Rams, and they've been doing it for a while. The Chiefs especially, they're doing different versions of it. No matter what you want to call it, RPOs or true play actions, bubble screens on top of your run game, it's a different way to create mismatches with the defense. It puts them in a numbers game. So you see it everywhere. It's just a little variations.
We talked to Hugh Jackson last month about the workout, the private workout that you had with the Browns, and he was just saying how he learned a lot about you, and he also said that you made some kind of noise. He said it was hee-hee. So what was that all about? What's the actual call?
It wasn't an actual call. It's just that, like, when you get around your guys in the locker room, it's like there's a sense, like, that's your family. And so it being one of the last times I got to throw to them in Norman, competitively, however you want to describe it, it was just like, okay, the show's on right now. Let's go get it. Let's go, you know, work for it. Let's go earn it. And so we had our guys, and that was just, you know, I said hi to them on the way in. Yelled at them a little bit, not yelling at them, but just getting them going.
Talking out of that workout, or did you feel like you nailed it, or did you could go to the Browns because of that performance, or was there a moment where?
I was happy with how I performed, but at that time, you know, still nothing's in my control, so I wasn't going to focus on it too much.
You know, you're in Ohio physically. Do you have anything you want to say to Ohio State fans about planting the flag, and then what was your reaction to that then and now as well?
You guys forget that they came to Norman and whooped up on us. It's 1-1, so I'm going to have to get him in practice.
Yeah, like he said, we got him the year before, so he got us back, though, with the flag.
Before the draft said you might be the most NFL-ready quarterback of the top guys coming out. So therefore, what do you think you can learn the most if, in fact, you do sit for a while? Behind Tyrod.
I think the only reason people might say that is just based on game experience. Just how long I was in college, it seems like I was there for 10 years. So other than that, learning from a guy that's been in the league, that's seen defenses, that's had to go through the process, I've never done it before, so I can't say that I know how it's done. So I can learn from a guy like Tyrod and a guy like Drew Stanton.
What about off-the-field stuff? What kind of things do you think you can learn from Tyrod?
He's a guy that he blocks out everything. He's a guy that, even with the visits at the Bills that, and here now, they talk about he's up here, he's the earliest one, and he's the last one to leave. So there's no distractions. It's all football, and he's focused. So that's the type of guy you want in your locker room that can change the culture real quick. And so that's why I'm excited to be here. It's moving in the right direction.
Yeah, time for about two more. You're a pretty major player
at Nordonia on both sides of the ball, and maybe I'm sure a big part of you identified with yourself as an offensive player. How long did it take you to be a cornerback in your own mind? And are you still not fully a cornerback? You're still a football player. You've done a lot of other stuff too in football.
Yeah, I am a cornerback. But as you said, I play offense at Nordonia as well. But I also play corner at Nordonia. But when I had went to Ohio State, Coach Combs helped mold me into the corner that I am today and help with my technique, my footwork, and everything. So I think I'll be well prepared coming here to the NFL.
We know the kind of players
that were in the secondary at Ohio State. When you were a young guy just getting there in that group, what kind of belief did you have that you could be the next guy in that line to get to this point?
Yeah, I had a lot of belief because when I was getting recruited, Coach Combs actually told me that he wanted to coach first-round draft picks and win championships. So that kind of sold me. And for him to recruit me, that told me that he had that faith in me that I could go out and do those things with him. So I had a lot of faith that I could be that guy, that next first-rounder coming out of Ohio State.
Why did you do the Life of Baker videos? What was the thinking on that?
Just a little behind the scenes for, you know, everybody kind of does their path to draft type video, just a little variation on it. But, you know, I wanted a little inside look on there's a lot more work and whatnot that comes with it than people know. So just a little insight. I've always had my stories been a little different, so giving them a little twist on it.
Bigger, your sense of comfort coming in with a guy like Denzel, who's from the Cleveland area, who could potentially, you know, show you the area, just and Denzel for you, would you be comfortable kind of being a tour guide or kind of a, you know, somebody who could show him the ropes a little bit?
He already told me he's taking me to his favorite steakhouse, and it's on him.
Yeah, I got him. I got him.
knowing the area the way that you do, how do you think this town will embrace Baker?
I think they'll definitely embrace Baker because he's a competitor and he loves to win. So once we start winning, then, of course, I'll embrace him.
To your competitive nature, can I read you a quote? I listened to the podcast you did with Marty Smith.
Yes.
Entertaining podcast. Kill me before I let you win. Describe what that means to you. And is that your competitive nature? How does that go forward as far as you look at yourself as a competitive
to me, it's a mentality of never giving up. And that goes beyond just competition. That goes in life in general. It doesn't matter the cards you're dealt. It's what you do with those cards. And so never complain. Just keep pushing forward. Find the positive in anything and just fight for it.
All right. We're going to take some photos. Scott, go ahead.
John Dorsey yesterday described you as humble and mature. Do you think that's right? Would you say you've made strides in both those areas?
Absolutely. I don't think I'd be sitting right here unless I had made those strides. There's just over time, you know, I've made mistakes, but I've also learned from them. I think without those mistakes, later on down the road, I might have had slip-ups, but now I can learn from those and be able to move forward.
You get, though, that some of the actions would not scream humble. I mean,
absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not blind to that.
Josina, last.
Denzel, Josina Anderson, ESPN, how are you?
How are you doing?
When you talk, I hear a joy in your voice. And you mentioned that you lost your father, and I was just curious, what is it that you personally tap into to rise above that? Because it's like, I feel like I hear the pain and joy in your voice at the same time when you speak.
Yeah, since my dad passed, it was definitely a difficult situation, but the way that my dad and my mom and my family raised me was to be very prideful, but like I said, like I'm always saying how I'm humble, and so that kind of carries me just of all what he's done in his life kind of motivates me and my family motivates me to be who I am today.